Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that floats like a butterfly and stings like a stubbed toe. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, The Sting. Speaking of stinging, this is a fabulous movie starring William Shatner, who fights off killer bees. Wait a minute. Did I rent the right movie? Well, anyway, we'll find out. Hopefully, that's what it's about. We'll find out right after this. I don't know what right after this means. I guess the end of the song. It's not like I have sponsors or anything. No. We're way too classy for that. That's what I tell myself. This is The Sting, and it is... Well, it's not a movie I remember, but it's a soundtrack I remember from when I was a little kid, because it seemed like anybody who owned a piano or had ever heard of a piano was playing this song on it. I can't play it here because, you know, I don't have the rights to it, but you've heard it, you know. Okay, yeah, that was like the biggest hit. It had to be the biggest sheet music hit for 30 years, I think, when it came out. It seemed like everybody had a copy of that. And they kind of pay tribute to that in the movie, because the cover of the sheet music with the drawing and that font that says The Sting, they actually have like title cards that break up the movie, that look just like that. Probably the movie came first and the sheet music came second. But I wanted to believe that the movie was paying tribute to the sheet music. Now, this is a caper movie. It's about a couple of con men, most notably Robert Redford and the salad dressing guy, Paul Newman. And, because back in the day, he used to be an actor. And Robert Redford, his character gets himself in trouble pretty much early on by taking money from a racketeer, a bag man, I guess, is what you'd call him. As we know last week when I talked about The Godfather, I'm really not a mob expert, and I won't claim to be, but I'm going to say this is a bag man. He delivers money to the big guys in Chicago, because the movie starts off in Joliet, which, for those of you who don't live around here, will be happy to know is pretty much almost next to Chicago. So he gets in trouble and he needs to get out of town. But before he can get out of town, his partner is brutally murdered by the mobster whose money they took. And he decides he wants to get the guy back. So he teams up with Paul Newman. And instead of doing a short con where, you know, they kind of meet somebody on the street and 10 minutes later they walk away with their money, he and Paul Newman put together a long con, which is really probably not that long, but it takes about a week, and it involves drawing the guy in and getting him to slowly put in more and more money until eventually they end up with it. At least that's the plan. And, if you've seen any type of caper movie ever, you're going to know that there's some plot twists. You have to have those, because nothing ever goes as planned. That's the first rule of any type of heist or caper movie. Nothing is going to go as planned. Or will it? Sometimes it does. Sometimes the things that you think aren't going as planned are really as planned. But you don't know until you get to the end of the movie and you go, aha, okay, I see why that happened, I see why that happened. This one, as plot twists go, this film is, it's got a few, and they're pretty decent. Not on the level of some, but better than others. And I don't want to tell you too much about it, because these are the kind of things that ruin the movie for you the more you know. As far as the rest of the cast goes, the cast is very good. It's got Ray Walston in it, my favorite Martian. Any movie with him in it is fine with me, as far as I'm concerned. You just got to love that guy anytime he shows up. At least I do. That's how I feel. That's how I was raised, and I'm sticking with that. The strange thing about this movie, if you're looking at it with a modern eye, is that it's really the setting, The scenes, everything that go that you see as a backdrop almost looks like a movie set. It doesn't really look realistic in the way that modern movies tend to look pretty realistic, unless they specifically don't want them to look that way. It looks like a movie set, but that actually works. The, you know, Robert Redford, I don't know if he totally sells me as a rough and tumble lower class con man, but you know, he's kind of a movie star version of that. The set is a movie star version of Chicago in the 1930s. And Paul Newman, he's a little closer. Ray Walston is my favorite Martian. What can you say? The only other thing I wanted to mention in this is you got to give a lot of credit to Robert Redford's track coach, because for a movie about con men, I don't think I've ever seen a con man run away from so many things as I have in this movie. Seems like every other scene, he's got somebody look, you know, shows up who wants to kill him or hunt him down or grab him or whatever, talk to him roughly, and he's running away. And he's leaping off of buildings, and he's climbing ladders, and he's jumping over railroad tracks, and he's jumping over cars, and he's hiding in bathrooms, and he's just all over the place, and he's running. And, you know, not much dialogue happening when that happens, but it's kind of funny after a while, because it's like, oh, there he goes again. He's sprinting down the street. This is what his character does. Overall, I like this movie. I'm going to give it a low buy it. I would say that it is worth seeing more than, you know, I was trying to stick with this three-level grading system. And I'm starting to break it down now because, you know, I got a low rent it or a high rent it, or this is a low buy it. You know, I guess I'm getting more refined as I get older and as I do more of these. So it's a buy it, but it's a low buy it. It's not one that you're going to need to see constantly like some films, but it is worth checking out more than once, and it is worth having in your rack because every once in a while it's a fun movie to pull off and, you know, pop in the DVD player. So that's my recommendation. Buy it. Almost. Mostly. Buy it mostly. There you go. Next week on the show. Wow, that was loud. Let's tone that down just a bit. Next week on the show, The Godfather Part 2. And if that feels like a rerun, well, maybe it is. Because we just had The Godfather last week. But I'm glad that they made them on, you know, one on the heels of the other. It would be tough to review it, you know, with 6 or 8 or 10 weeks between them. The Godfather Part 3 came out much later and didn't win the Best Picture. But Godfather Part 2 did, widely considered by many to be one of the greatest sequels of all time. We'll find out when we get there. Until then, I'm Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. It is a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Feel free to go to BigNoisyBug.com, check out The Chico Walker Show. It's our comedy podcast. And that's it. Have a good week, everybody.